And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards.
Steve.
Hey, baby, want to see my microphone payoffs? And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It's season 3, episode 19 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the butcher shop in Kayleen. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm not Duke because he's not here. I'm the Gov.
And I'm Stevie P.
Yeah, we are a man down. A man down. Ladies and gentlemen, if we get to Thursday when this comes out and Duke still hasn't surfaced, who knows? Where is he? He's not
Amber
answering
Alert.
Texts. He's not doing anything. Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, Duke, if you're out there, we know Duke's not with us next week because he's going on a holiday. So we've got Caden Helms coming in. So, Benny, at least tonight, no one's going to be stealing your segment. You've
got it all to yourself. Take a biff of Benny. Ready for you, mate.
All answers point to a bender on the weekend from Duke.
Yeah, well, he did finish his job, I think, and he was quite happy about that.
Answers are pointing to bender.
I saw a Snapchat on Friday of him leaving work, and to say excitement, you know, that's
kicking his feet together.
Duke on a Friday. He's pretty excited anyway.
And he's like, I don't have to work for 2 weeks.
Never
turn
him back up here ever again. It's party time.
Oh, dearie me. We've also got a guest coming in a little bit later in the podcast. Ben, you know him pretty well. DJ is coming in. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name.
Tamapau.
Something like that.
He's a legend. He's a legend. He's one of my training partners. I love him.
He took part in a thing called Wimp to Warrior last year that's put on by Synergy Martial Arts down at Hume here in Canberra. And essentially, people that have never fought before, and a lot of them get into it for the fitness aspect, they'll go through 6 months of MMA training, and then they have a fight at a big, huge promoted fight night at the end. And the second season is coming up here in Canberra on the 22nd of September. So he did that last year, and he is getting set to make his Hex debut this weekend. So, you know, people can take that next step out of some programs like this.
Yeah,
so
it's awesome. Be just the starting blocks for a lot of people. Mm. And his wife's doing it as well. And she's been training with my future wife, Carly. I'm just putting it out there. He's just turned into just like, he's just a bloody great bloke and just a really reliable training partner.
Yeah, nice.
And like, he's one of those guys you can just beat him up and he keeps coming back and then you start seeing improvements in him and you get a little bit proud and he's turned into like a really solid sparring partner.
He's a nice guy too, isn't he?
He's an absolute
very, very nice guy.
Just a hard working family man.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll talk to him. How was your weekend, Benny? You went out and met some family and stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, some future in-laws.
Yeah, nice.
It was nice. I drove up to Orange.
Yeah.
It's like, the drive itself was beautiful. We went up through Blarney and came back through Cowra.
How good's Cowra with the canola fields and stuff?
Blarney.
Well, they've just
Blaney. It's Blaney as well.
They've just started. I'm thinking about the Blarney Stone.
He went via Scotland.
Yeah.
I kissed the Blarney Stone.
Oh, God. Went to Orange via Dublin.
I kissed something for good luck and I got... but that was awesome, man. It was had a really good weekend. I met Carly's little half-brothers and... Kicked the footy about 5,000 times. Did 10Ks on my fitness power with my phone in my pocket, just kicking the footy around the oval.
Good man.
Over 2 days.
Nice.
And you get ready for it, eh? Good boy.
It was awesome, mate.
And how was your weekend, Steve?
Excellent, mate. It was good, Friday night went out and had a celebration dinner with Lee Kiley. Celebrated 20 years at the Roos Club as general manager, which he's done some great things for that club and the rugby league team as well, which is really good. Mm-hmm. So that was good. Had a bit of a baby shower gender reveal. I think they're more gender reveals these days than they are baby showers these days.
Yeah.
So I had one of those for a close on Saturday, caught up with a few other boys on Saturday night, and that was it. It was pretty quiet the rest of the time, so it was good.
What actually happened? Yeah. Caught up with some of the boys, all my mates. We had dinner, and that was it. Went home to bed.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Sure, mate.
Trying to keep it PG just for one night, eh? Yeah, and it was a good weekend, though. It was good.
And Duke, how was your weekend, Duke? Yeah, exactly. No, it's good, man.
How was yours, Scotty?
I was crook as a dog. I had the man flu. I'm still getting over it. But no, I went to Sydney for a gig at the State Theatre on Friday night.
This was the guy you showed me all about last week, Scotty.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very impressive.
The Queen extravaganza with a bloke by the name of Mark Martel. You may have seen, he did an audition about 5 years ago for this band that was put together by Roger Taylor, the drummer of Queen. Mm. And it was all done through Ellen. So he sent in a video of him singing Somebody to Love, and you close your eyes and you swear it is Freddie Mercury. And they were just amazing. The band was sensational, and it was really good. Then got pulled over by the cops about 8 meters from home, driving in on Saturday morning at about 2 a.m. So that was fun. He was. I went, mate,
I haven't had a bit of lip.
I haven't had a drink since last Sunday, mate. And he's gone, yeah, but you changed lanes down there and you didn't use your blinker. And I went, it's 2 a.m. I'm the only car on the road. He's gone, use your blinker next time, son. I'm like, all right, thank you.
Yeah.
See ya. I love the boys and girls in blue. I used to love it when I worked on the radio. You can imagine the time I was on the road. I got pulled over constantly. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah, well, getting to work at 4 a.m.
You could just see them getting really disappointed when they get up to the window and the window would come down and they could smell that I just got out the shower and that I was fresh as a daisy.
Yeah,
like, damn.
Yeah.
Club sport at this time of the morning on the road had to be stolen. But no.
Not you, mate. Yeah.
Stolen. I was thinking driving home drunk for the night before.
That too. But let's get stuck into it. Music-wise, we've played this band quite a bit on this podcast.
It's your favourite.
I make no apologies for it because they are bloody amazing and they've got a new album coming out. On Friday it is, Alter Bridge with the Parallax Orchestra. It was done live last October at the Royal Albert Hall in London. They did two nights with the orchestra. It sold out in about 6 minutes. And
beautiful.
This is just sensational. There's a little bit in the song at the 4:50 mark. You listen to the note that Miles Kennedy hits and holds it for about 7 seconds. It's just hairs stand up on the back of your neck kind of stuff. It's bloody amazing. So we'll get stuck into that. And Bifurama is just around the corner on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop in Kaleen.
This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, and myself only this week. Duke is, we're still waiting for him potentially to turn up, but we'll see how that all goes tonight.
Well, considering he's 40 minutes late now, it's 20 to 7 now. He was supposed to be here at 6. He's not coming.
Let's
tonight.
Just say he's not coming. That's exactly right. Great song there, Scotty. That was Words Are Darker Than Their Wings, as you mentioned, by Alter Bridge and the Parallax Orchestra live at the Royal Albert Hall in London, one of the great venues in the world. So the three of us looking forward to this segment now. Let's talk about it and hand it over to you, Benny. It is the famous...
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Oh, I like the way you did that, Steve. That was a nice upward inflection, letting the listener know something else was about to happen. That was fantastic.
How'd you like that?
I like the way you did that too. Was that a good inflection?
No, that was shit.
Thanks, Ben.
What do you got for us, mate?
Well, in UFC news, we'll start first up. There's tons of rumors going around, and obviously a bit of evidence that Conor's refusing to do any media obligations for the fight.
Okay.
I think Conor's just flexing his muscle a little bit and possibly looking for a little bit of further leverage. Yep. To say to the UFC, I can sell the biggest fight of all time and not even do any media. Give me a percentage of the company. I'm worth it to
you. He's wanted that for a while, hasn't he?
He's spoken about it. And, I also think because of the pressure, like this is some all-time great territory we're going into. Like he's already in the talk for the GOAT in MMA, whether you like it or not. The facts are the facts.
Yeah.
I think he's just using this as if he can sell this and he can actually win the fight. And obviously, worst stylistic matchup ever. For both guys, man, if he can, you want to come in 500% with perfect training and everything. So, mate, imagine if he pulls this off. No media, flatlines.
Yeah.
What in your opinion, what sort of position would that leave him with in the UFC? They're going to think, man, this guy knows his worth, knows what he can bring to the company, but he's not going to do any media to promote the bloody fight. Like, apparently, as of we record this, there's no press conference booked. There was obviously no world tour.
No.
Because we've got to remember on his world tour for Aldo, the first one where Aldo pulled out, Conor blew his knee out. Apparently, he was wrestling with Rory McDonald at the time. And, you know, obviously media, traveling, not good for training and prep.
Yep.
What are your thoughts, Stevie?
Absolutely, Benny. What I was going to say when you brought it up was that it puts him in a very strong position. And the reason that I believe that's the case is because there's a lot of questions about what's going to happen to him after this fight. And that all comes down to how much motivation he actually has to go on and continue to be a UFC fighter, to put his body through. We know that he's a devout family man now. He's got his little boy growing up. Talk that he's going to have another one soon that he's mentioned. So from that position, what it does, Benny, I feel, is that it leaves him in a sense where he says, look, I'm not going to promote this for you, but if it comes to a point where we can strike something up, then I will promote it for you. You either give me a cut or a percentage, as you mentioned, or going forward, it leaves him in a stronger position to say, okay, I'll continue to fight now, or I'll be in a position where I'm not going to do anything else for you, and I can only come and go as I please, effectively. Because you can imagine if he wins the belt, what does that do then for that division in the UFC once again, and how much pull will he have when it comes to actually defending that title? So I feel like it puts him in a really strong position.
Yeah.
And the big thing for me will be, you know, ensuring his longevity when it comes to making money and being in a position where he can have the final say on what happens with his fights when it comes to the UFC. So that's how I feel about it. Yeah. He's just setting himself up to say, well, you know, I think there's a big chance, because you look at it, it's been sold out almost effectively in terms of the venue itself. What they want to do now is make sure they have a really strong pay-per-view presence. I need to get their numbers up.
Oh, it'll be massive. And
it will be massive, you'd think.
But Conor's carrying the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's
right. Khabib doesn't actually sell for all the success that he's had.
Correct. And what I'm saying by that is that he's in a position where, okay, you're going to sell this many without me doing absolutely jack all. How about if I go crazy with this and start doing the stuff that he's doing with Mayweather, which was box office. It was garbage, but it was box office. You wanted to watch it. So you're going to see people, I'll put it this way. You see that sort of stuff as a fan when you haven't got it yet. It's the type of stuff that sends people home and goes, I'm booking this right now. And you might sell 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 pay-per-views just like that from one press where you go, wow, how good is this going to be?
Yeah.
And then Khabib, and then throw another bottle at someone in the crowd or do that sort of stuff. So that's the position it puts him in, which I think
is
pretty
crazy.
Strong.
So, he's just flexing his muscle in the already good position he has. The only thing he has done for promotion is a few Instagram posts where he's actually having a go at Khabib's dad a little bit, which is usually no-go territory when it comes to family. But Conor has gone there before with his potential fight with RDA before RDA broke his foot. Talking about just, just implying that he's a coward, your son's a coward, or this sort of stuff. And he's also having to go at another one of Khabib's training partners. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. Just saying that he's a traitor to the Dagestanis by working with the Chechens. Apparently he fought for the Chechen promotion, the warlord we've spoken about.
Right,
Kadyrov. So he's going really trying to...
get under his skin.
Mate, because
Khabib... Oh, he's a king at that stuff.
Dagestanis, Russians, they're pretty bloody stoic. They're stoic... people, and mate, he's doing everything he can to push some buttons. Now, finally, well, not finally at all. Next, finally, finally, I'm on to the next segment. there is a main event for the UFC in Adelaide on December 2.
Oh,
it is Tai Tuivasa versus Junior Dos Santos.
Yes,
that good is going to be an absolute cracker.
Yeah,
Tai's already in Thailand. Yeah, Tai's already in Thailand helping Mark Hunt get ready for his fight in Russia next month. So I reckon he's just going to end up staying there for the whole 3 months. Hopefully I can get over there and do some training with him. That will be an absolute... That's a logical next fight for him. But his last fight, Arlovski, Junior's a real similar style to Arlovski, but a bit bigger of a banger. So Tai did eat a lot of shots. So, man, I'm going to be watching that. That's going to be a cracker. Now, there's going to be... There has been a huge falling out between Donald Cowboy Cerrone and his camp, the Jackson Wink camp. He has been with them for over 10 years. And Mike Perry, the crazy guy, the face tats and stuff, he started with Jackson Wink just for his last fight. So he's only been there for about 3 months before the fight. So probably been there 5 months all up. Now, what's happened is Mike Winklejohn, the striking coach, has really taken over the main role, and Greg Jackson has taken a bit of a back seat. And I think what's happened is you can be a trainer for so long; it's a very unforgiving job, and people aren't very grateful. You don't, for all the hours you put in, a lot of people don't really, even with all the success Jackson Wink had. They once had like a 90% win ratio with tons of champions. I reckon he's just like, oh man, I've been doing this for 20 years. It's time to cash in. And he's turned it into a bit of a more of a money-making gym. You can actually pay $150 for a month membership and spar a world champion. You can just jump on the mat with zero fights on your belt, zero experience in anything, and spar a world champion. Apparently that's happening all the time. So yeah, Donald, he was pretty dirty with Jackson. Mike Winklejohn apparently said to Donald, look, Mike Perry pays me, because Donald was always... he paid Greg Jackson, apparently. This is what Donald said on Rogan's podcast. So, bit sad thing. It'd suck to train with someone for 10 years and then have a guy come in and train with them for one fight, and they took his side over yours. That would be pretty heartbreaking. Not lastly... or leastly, or...
Next up.
Continuing. It's not even lastly. I'm just trying to come up with new segues that are completely wrong. The Ultimate Fighter...
Finally, we're up to topic three.
Finally, secondly, next. The Ultimate Fighter that I tried out for premiered on TV this week on Channel 10.
It's on Channel 1
now.
It's on one, which is owned by Channel 10.
It's like a subsidiary or something like that.
I started watching on that. As soon as Ben Sasoli is coming up, I will be super invested in it. I reckon he's the red. I actually have no idea about the results. I probably could phone a few people and find out, but I don't want to put him in that position. I'm not going to be that guy. Ben Sasoli, red hot favorite.
Better for your entertainment that you don't, though, Benny, as well. I mean,
absolutely.
And he was the first picked as well in his team.
Yeah,
you saw
was he?
Yes, he was. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and he got picked to Gaslam's team as opposed to Whitaker's team. He was not saddened by, but he said, oh, you know, it would have been good if I could have gone with
Robbie.
Especially considering Rob Whitaker does train with his coach, Dan Kelly.
Yeah.
But I think Gaslam just saw the talent Ben Sasoli has. He goes, I want that guy on my team immediately.
Nice.
So he scooped him up. So moving on to some boxing news now. It's sort of boxing news. Oscar De La Hoya is promoting his first MMA show, Golden Boy. It's been spoken about for a few months. Tito and Chuck is confirmed.
It is, yeah.
It is going to be on November 24. All the guys have passed all their tests. It is going to be on pay-per-view, but surprisingly enough, both fighters have taken a fixed fee. So maybe, I don't know what that says about the fight, if maybe they're not confident in their ability to sell pay-per-views or what's going to happen there.
Surely the interest, even though it's probably going to be a bit far scale given their age and where they're at in their careers, it'd still be a fair bit of interest in that, you'd think, wouldn't it?
Sure, yeah, I think so, but maybe...
Well,
Would you watch that, Steve, as a fight fan?
Would you? But I'm a hardcore guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a hardcore guy, Benny. The interesting thing about this is it's the type of thing I probably wouldn't go out of my way to watch as opposed to, you know, look, put it this way. I'd rather watch Tyrone Woodley and Darren Till. If someone had to say, what choice would you like? You had to make a choice.
Yep.
You know, UFC.
You'd rather watch the two best welterweights in the world over two guys with 100-year total age.
That's right. And so much experience. You look at how good those two guys have been, how good Tito was for the sport back when he started as well. Just that real heel at times and loved as well. I mean, Chuck was always a guy that just everybody loved. I remember when I lived in Canada back in 2009 and Chuck was fighting, you know, those big, as a back end of his career, but he was still fighting big fights. He was just KO or get KO'd at the time. Yeah. So they still bring that. But as from a, I think from what you're saying as well, Benny, from a purist perspective, I'd rather watch, you know, a Woodley versus a Till than I would that fight. Yeah, and I've seen, interesting, I saw John Wayne Parr last week come out on Instagram and make some comments about,
I saw that.
You know, thanks very much for, you know, standing up for us older guys. You know, I'm 42. Yeah. I still love to go around and bang on. Yeah. And like, I think JWP still got, you know, some quality in his legs.
Oath.
And the difference with it's JWP is he's fought consistently. He still fights. He's fought in glory recently.
But the thing with John Wayne Parr is, I don't even know if he's ever been knocked out. He is so savvy and so good defensively.
He's one of the greats, isn't he?
He's had a million fights, but I've never seen him flatline. I've seen him dropped once by Yodson Clay when we fought on the same card up in Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
But John Wayne, but he does not take a lot of damage, man. He is a really
good defensive fighter. And he's just a superstar.
And he's as au fait as anyone. Like when you talk to him, he's right up there, so kind, so normal.
Yeah, you can't compare John Wayne Parr, who I think is 42.
42,
To a guy like Chuck, who's 48, got KO'd three times in a row, hasn't won a fight for 11 years.
That's right, yeah.
It's very different, man. So anyway, still on De La Hoya.
Yep.
Apparently he's actually blacklisted a whole bunch of... there's a UFC manager, he's an Egyptian guy called Ali Abdelaziz. There's my WOG pronunciation for the moment.
He
manages guys like Khabib Nurmagomedov and Fabrizio Verdum.
Isn't that?
De La Hoya is...
all over it.
I'm good for the fighters.
Yeah. He knows the fighters' names.
And he's actually blacklisted them from ever coming to his show. So I'm actually trying to find out the backstory. They haven't been able to find out.
Okay.
But he said they're publicly, any Ali Abdelaziz fighters are not coming to any of my events. So
okay.
He does seem like a guy that could ruffle some feathers. And now, moving on... Secondly, lastly, finally, in my opinion, the best Mexican boxer ever, and I don't think there's many
guys. Is this your penultimate segment?
Is it?
Is it
is there one after
one?
This, or is this the last?
This is the ultimate segment.
So the one about De La Hoya was the penultimate one.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah,
this is the penultimate. But the best Mexican boxer ever, Julio Cesar Chavez, has been honored by his country. He has his likeness, his full torso in his boxing stance on the 500 peso bill officially,
nice.
Which is worth about as much as Payos telling the chick, I love you forever. Which is, and I've worked it out, $36 Australian dollars.
Hey, that's not bad.
Well, I was going to say, $36. That's all right.
Hey, I was waiting
Steve
for
Steve tells me he loves me every week. I'm still waiting for a check. I get a hug and a kiss, but that's all.
Oh, dear me.
And that'll
thanks,
be
Edwards,
that was
man.
The ultimate. What's after penultimate? Final.
The final, yeah.
Is there another like fancy word?
The main event?
No.
No, that'll do.
All right.
Hey, just quickly, can we next week, we need to talk as well. I'm looking forward to doing a preview with you of Canelo Triple G number 2. That's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah.
We should probably link up on that Sunday.
Definitely.
And watch it, boys. That's going to be a great fight, I reckon.
100%. Yeah. That's going to be a great... Just to give you an idea of how big, because it was just the anniversary for the 1 year. The 1 year anniversary. And how many times am I going to say anniversary?
I don't know, Ben.
In one sentence.
Oh, you'd have a week in a way with your missus. So.
That was about 4. The T-Mobile Arena, the ticket sales for that, the gate was like $70 million.
Mm.
And Triple G and Canelo have sold it out. And they've still, but it's only been like under $20 million. Yeah. So it just gives you an idea of how huge.
You're talking about Conor and Mayweather,
T-Mobile,
you're saying.
Yeah, Conor and Mayweather was like $70 million gate. Triple G and Canelo, one of the best fights of the year, entertainment wise, for what's on the line wise, stakes on the line, middleweight title, under $20 million. And to give you more perspective on that, Miocic and Cormier, That was only like $3 million gate, just to give you an idea of the difference.
Correct. Yeah. And it's all about
how things are selling at the moment.
Well, that's an interesting one we can talk about next week as well, is how much you can sell your tickets for based on the interest of people to attend that. When you look at those McGregor tickets, McGregor, Khabib.
The nosebleeds were $200 insane.
US for Khabib and Conor.
Which is 40 million payos. Pesos.
Payos Chavez pesos. So that'll be good. We'll look forward to that next week, Benny.
Done.
Queen Vienna is famous for the Campeses, George Lazenby, Mark Webber, and it's where this podcast is recorded. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Stephen, Duke.
Well, we wouldn't be here every week without Ian and the team at the Butcher Shop in Kayleen. Canberra's best meat, hands down. Everyone in this room agrees with that statement. Everyone in this room has now eaten that meat. Even our good mate, who's missing somewhere, under a bus, in a police cell.
Sucking on a T-bone.
The Japanese embassy. We just don't know. Even Duke Didier loves the stuff at the Butcher Shop. So
he certainly does.
It's funny, isn't it? It's a true story that we don't know where he is. I mean, we're not
we're not making it up.
We're not making it up at all. We have actually no idea.
He might be at the Butcher Shop. he could be there talking to Phil, who manages.
This is heaps better than podcasting. I'm just going to hang out here every Monday night.
I will put it out there because I had a bunch of messages to the Butcher Shop's Facebook page last week. Their smoked dog bones are back in stock. Now, everyone knows you don't give dogs cooked bones. So what they do is they cold smoke them. So they just go in the smoker. They don't heat them. The smoke goes over them, so the bones get extra tasty, and dogs lose their mind.
They would salivate over
that,
wouldn't they?
Well, Slash does. If you hold one in front of Slash,
Slash's mind is lost.
Yes,
let alone with that in front of him.
You sit there, and he will drool, like a bread and butter plate of drool, in like 30 seconds, waiting for that bloody bone. That's how popular they are.
Is it like a full cow, like thigh?
You can get whatever. That's what I generally get him. I get him a shin bone, what they call a shin bone. And the last one I got him, the femur was about that bloody long. It was huge.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So if even your furry animals can be fed at the Butcher Shop, and you know, they do their the pet mints. They've got all the frames. A lot of people like to make up their own dog food, so they've got all that stuff there for you too. But the human food is where it's at, and get in there and get it. The bacon is just next level, as Steve knows. The miracle bacon is
absolutely
just something else.
The miracle bacon was absolutely fantastic, and the T-bone steak I had, oh my goodness, mate, that was superb. So I'm looking forward to heading out there hopefully soon. Don't want to make any outrageous promises, but like in the next few weeks I'd like to get out there.
Well, they put a new thing. You've got to get some of these, Benny. It's the pork cutlet parma. So it is a pork cutlet with all the parma stuff on the inside, and then it's coated. 30 minutes.
What's it coated in?
Breadcrumbs, but it's got like your parma sauce. You got your parma sauce, you've like got your ham and your cheese, and it's coated in
that
the
breadcrumbs.
That would
be unbelievable.
They sold out of them last week. So
what time are you heading out there tomorrow, Benny? Lunchtime or something? Or
no, I only get 35 minutes for lunch and recess.
Oh, so
that's not enough time to drive up from North Cooma.
I was thinking, hang on a minute.
It's barely enough time. If I sit down and just smash as much food as I can, I'm never full.
Well, get yourself to the Butcher Shop and take some goodies in, folks. Go in there, get it down your neck. It is Canberra's best meat.
Good on you, Ian. Love your flat top.
This podcast is recorded in a studio that's surrounded by 3 pubs. What could possibly go wrong?
Uh-oh, my heart just stopped.
Give yourself an uppercut podcast.
Now it's time for my new favourite segment. No, it's not a top 5 like everyone was thinking. It's time for the 3rd one in a row.
Yeah.
Scotty's Week in Review. I can't
wait. You love it, eh, Benny? You are fired up now.
I don't know if it's that good or the top 5 was that bad, but I love it anyway.
I got to say, you got in a bit of an argument on our Facebook page with Wombat the other day. Wombat Jones, he reckons the top 5 is much better than the Week in Review.
And he asked you to argue it too. I like that.
It wasn't an argument. It was a one-sided ass kicking. And I was swinging the hammer.
All right, well, let's do this.
And now on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time for the Week in Review.
Love that voiceover. And first up this week, a new study
How much of a budget are we on?
A very, very, very small budget.
We need like more Butcher
Shops.
For
the amount of listeners that we have, which is still amazing me to this day, we are working.
We've got the best gear. We've got all the gear we use to record with the microphone.
The computer records it most of the time.
Yes, it does. It's only when I bump the space bar and it stops recording.
It's only $10,000. It's pretty good.
It's not too bad at all. First up this week, a new study claims that olive oil may be better than Viagra. That sounds like a weird salad to me. I wouldn't be...
Does it work? Because they reckon.
I didn't think that Payos was that is funny. Dead. Payos is gone.
Payos
is
having a beer.
Payos has just gone. You've just saved me a fortune.
Well, they reckon that your skin is like a mouth. So if you use the olive oil, it's still going to get absorbed into your system.
Apparently. Speaking of Viagra, Malaysian authorities this week have confiscated 900 boxes of coffee laced with Viagra. I'm not making it up. Gives a phrase I'd like a double tall a whole new meaning, doesn't it?
Now that's what I call getting stimulated.
Dictionary.com has come out this week and says the most misused word in the English language is ironic. That's something, isn't it?
It is, Alanis.
Yes, indeed. It's terrible. That whole song. Maybe
it's not
that's,
even irony, is it?
No, maybe that's the irony, though. Maybe she was having a big gag with us because nothing in that song was actually ironic.
The troll, says that all the time. Troll before
it's a bloke at work troll. I know who's like that. He knows his grammar quite well. And someone will say something and go, that's ironic. You go, no, it's not.
No. It's unfortunate. Okay. Yes, it exists, but it's not ironic.
That's it.
Firemen in Hawaii had to return to their station house after going on a call because they left food cooking there that set their firehouse on fire, causing $25,000 damage.
Is that ironic?
I think that is, yes.
It's borderline. Yes.
The fire captain is blaming a dyslexic fireman who thought he left the stove set to no. No?
On?
What was it? On? No.
Yeah.
No. Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
A Tennessee school teacher is being accused of stealing lunch money from a student. I remember the good old days when the only thing that had happened between teachers and students was sex.
Yeah. the 2000s.
Oh, dearie me. There was a woman arrested at the US-Mexican border in El Paso for trying to smuggle 30 pounds of marijuana hidden in religious pictures that also had pot stashed in a framed copy of The Last Supper as well. Customs agents said they red flagged the lady when they noticed that in the picture Jesus was turning bong water into wine.
I'm trying to think of something.
And
finally this week, a judge in Boston has ruled that airport officials violated the rights of a Rastafarian baggage handler at the Logan Airport when they hired him with dreadlocks, then tried to fire him for not cutting them off. So this is a case of airport officials but not being very smart. If you really want to fire a Rastafarian, don't tell him to cut his dreadlocks, ask him for a urine test. You think about it, who better than a Rastafarian to hire as a baggage handler? The guy's probably been handling bags his whole life. $20 bags, $50 bags, so on.
Yama.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen. And now, with the Macedonian Love God, it's time for the Vast Planet
of Athletic Endeavour.
And you are record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
Floor is yours, Steve.
Thanks very much, Scotty. I'm still getting myself together after your week in review. Wombat, you can stick it, mate. That's a much better segment than the top five. Albeit, I do like the top five. I'm a big fan of the top five.
Just get to your segment.
Righto. Let's start off, boys. Formula One. It's turning into a fascinating season, as I mentioned a few podcasts ago, but it's even better now. The controversy and the crashes and just all the arguments that are going on, the blow-ups, have made it a really interesting season. The Italian Grand Prix was on last night and saw plenty of controversy. We had Hamilton crashing into blokes at the front corner with Vettel. We are Max Verstappen having a big, a bit of an incident with Valtteri Bottas as well, which cost him two places as well. It looked like he was going to get a podium, but it cost him a podium finish. He ended up finishing fifth. But overall,
was that because he got penalised?
He did get penalised. He's trying to go for an overtaking move, and it was illegal blocking. So basically, he said that he gave him enough room on the outside for Bottas to go past, but the argument was that he didn't. So
what is the rule with passing? Do you have to be like wheel past the wheel or something?
Well, it depends
like
on it changes.
V8's
in all
like the B
it's
pillar.
The B pillar in V8s, but it's very different in F1.
It's all about where you're coming up as well.
Because open wheelers,
you're allowed to move. Is my understanding? You're allowed to move, and anyone can correct this, please, because I'm certain that I may not be right, but I'm pretty sure you're allowed to move in one direction to get in front, but you're not allowed to go back again the other way. So once you're going, you can stick in your straight line, and then if you see someone coming, you're allowed to get in their way, but that's it after that. You're not allowed to get back in their way again. So if they're good enough to get in your stream and then come around you on the other side, they have to be allowed to do that. So have a listen to this, though. This is Max afterwards, where he was a little bit more circumspect about what happened to him, because at the time of the incident, he basically was going off at his radio going, this is bullshit. Maybe he's losing it and expletives, but he was a bit calmer about it afterwards when he was asked after the race.
Max, you certainly didn't sound too happy with that penalty. What did you think of it?
Yeah, of course, no, I don't agree with it, but that's how it goes. I mean,
Yeah, we can talk about it very long, but I don't think it's going to make a massive difference. But the car, you know, looking at the positives, it was working really well.
So as a result, Lewis Hamilton was the man who won the Grand Prix after all that, ahead of the two men from Finland, Kimi Raikkonen and Valtteri Bottas. Sebastian Vettel came in fourth, and the big news out of that really is that Hamilton extends his lead now to 30 points at the top of the championship. So that's a reasonable lead at this stage of proceedings, provided that if he continues to race well, get podium finishes, and not ever come in a situation where he basically...
Has a DNF,
that's exactly right.
Can I ask a layman question about F1? Yep. I know with like the V8 guys, they can race like well, and some of them are like into their 50s, like Larry Perkins was still running around.
Well, a lot of those guys still do at an elite level.
Can you do that at F1?
I think you can, Benny, but I think a lot of it will be down to your motivation as well, because you don't see a lot of them now really go past their sort of mid-30s.
He's the latest.
I mean, look at Alonso now, is in his mid-30s, and he's even said himself he's about to hang it up at the end of the year. He's just gone about a gut.
Because you get pretty used to seeing like 40-somethings in the V8 at the top level.
Yeah.
But you don't really see it a whole lot in the F1. Is it because it's that much more intense and faster, and
your reaction times have to be on point. It probably does take a bit of a toll on the body as well. Interesting outcome last night, but we'll see what happens. The next race is in Singapore in a couple of weeks, which is always a very fascinating event, a nice nighttime event there in Singapore. Moving on to the Canberra Raiders Cup Grand Final on the weekend. This was one for the ages in terms of the result and the nature of how the actual result went. Scotty, you're all over it. But the Rams won their first premiership for 22 years since 1996, Wadden Valley. So this was a great story for them in terms of how long it's been for them to actually take the first finals appearance, I think, for about 9 or 10 years.
Yep.
And first time they've actually won the comp. So the way the match panned out was is that they were 30 points to nil up. So they talk about a healthy lead in the Grand Final. Mm. Got pegged back to 30 points apiece with Bushies. So come back to 30 points all, Benny. And then
that would have been awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Lincoln Withers stepped up for Woden and potted a field goal with 8 minutes to go to make it 31 points to 30.
The former Raiders.
Yeah, that's right. So he's coaching Woden, I think.
Yes, he is, captain coach.
So, well done to him. It was a great performance. Wow. Potted the field goal with 8 minutes to go and they come away with the victory. So that was pretty big for Woden. Disappointing for Bushies. I thought they had a great season, and to put themselves in grand final contention like that, a big win last week against Westies, I really thought that would be the right type of situation for them. So very disappointing. In reserve grade, we had Westies, Westport Connon upset the Blues, 24 points to 16, but a little bit more program in the 18s where the Blues won 28 points to 18. So I was going to talk a little bit about JT retiring, but there's a great listener's question in there, which is...
Is there a mistake in the listener question?
I don't think so.
I can see.
No. Not at all.
All right. We'll discuss later.
Okay. Oh, Benny's onto something here. We'll have to investigate it a bit more closely.
Probably not.
I'll have a look. I was going to talk a little bit about JT retiring, but we'll talk about that in the listener question, which was fantastic. Boys, this was a topic that I really wanted to get some opinions on. I think I might introduce this every week now. He's like a talking point of the week. Now, this has got to do with soccer, but relax, okay? Relax.
I'm all right.
Yeah, good. So what I want to talk about here is Usain Bolt. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now making his debut. So what's happening? He made his debut, Benny. If you weren't aware, Usain Bolt, one of the greatest Olympians of all time, the greatest sprinter.
I don't know who
ever.
He is.
Okay. Well, just
bloody hell.
Just make it
Jesus.
Sure. Just make it sure there, champ. So Usain Bolt's on trial at the moment with the Central Coast Mariners, looking to make that trial permanent, actually get some game time when the A-League starts in October. Now, he came on for his debut on Friday night. They played a Central Coast Select 11, which was a combination of players that have all come together from the region. They won 6-1. Usain Bolt came on for about 21 minutes and was really, really poor by all accounts.
Yeah.
Wasn't great, looks unfit, got plenty of work to do and doesn't have a great
looked
first
unfit.
Touch.
Yeah, he's unfit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was blowing hard, overweight.
No,
he doesn't look
over.
Doesn't look gassing. Overweight.
Gassing. Yeah, no, not overweight. Gassing. Just gassing. Yeah, like really? his cardio and the nature.
It's a
of
different
his...
cardio too. He's used to going 100% for 20 seconds max.
That's it. Yeah.
Let alone run around a soccer field.
And now he's got to run, three k to a four k in that 20-minute spell. But non-stop, fast, slow, speed up, slow down, all that sort of thing. So what I wanted to ask was the thing that's annoyed me about this is that I feel like it's taking away from what should be the preparation to the A-League. The fact there's been some great FFA Cup matches as well so far. So, he's just on the Fox Sports coverage. They had Bolt Cam in the corner. They're watching him pick his nose. They're watching him talk to his colleagues. His colleagues are actively, I wouldn't say distressed, but a little bit anxious because they're always on the screen. They're just trying to get ready for their time to come on. And what I wanted to reference it with you was, is guys like CM Punk and the guys that are just completely from a different sport, albeit they have a little bit more similarities, I feel, wrestling, professional professionally to the actual UFC and mixed martial arts themselves. But how much effect, Benny, in your opinion on this, please, and Scotty, what sort of effect does it have when you have this sideshow taking over what should be the actual front run of a sport itself? Because to me personally, I thought CM Punk was, as a gimmick, was sort of interesting enough. The fact that they went around and did it again was just chaos and stupid, if you ask me. So what's your thoughts on this, boys? Is it something that's good for publicity, or is it ruining the sport itself?
Well, it's great for publicity, but the what it does for the reputation of the sport. But it's all just a business, man. We're talking about it right now. You know, this, this is getting airtime on every on ABC radio and everything. Yeah. The news every night's talking about it. So it is eyes on the telly and bums on seats. How long is it going to go for? The good thing is about a UFC fight, 15 minutes you're done. Yep, CM Punk's crap. Oh, we might give him one more chance. Oh, I didn't sell any pay-per-views. Let's cut him. Yeah. How long is it going to last with the same Bolt? Right now we've seen what he's got, and it's not much.
Yeah,
that's right. How long is this hype going to last for? That's the biggest thing. But I do feel sorry for the other guys, but business is business, and we are talking about it, and it is ratings. And
man, I actively sought it out over the weekend, and I would never do that for a soccer game, just to go and see it. So there's going to be a lot of people like me who don't give three shits about soccer who will watch it to see him. So in that respect, I think it's got to be good for the sport. But yeah, if he gets a Guernsey when he's clearly, one, not fit, and two, if he doesn't have the skill level. I think he showed a couple of glimpses that he might have a bit of talent with the
boot. I reckon he's got a bit of toe.
Yeah, and he certainly got that. But
he showed decent pace.
If he gets to the point where he's fit, then he'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think
just the skills, man. Yeah. I played soccer with Carly, and she used to play, like, she wasn't, like, she was a, she's a gun. She used to play all the time. You'd love all the old photos of her. She was the only guy in the, only girl in the guys team. She's a machine.
No comment.
Mate, the actual soccer, the soccer skills, man. It's bloody hard work, and it takes years to pick up.
It's
man.
A tough game, though. That's the thing. And aesthetically as well, to actually learn it and be good at it and not look like
and
an absolute
gumby. And
to
perform under pressure as well.
That's correct, yeah. So I think that what you're right there, Scotty, in that. If he can develop an aspect to his game, which is, for example, I mean, they've had him as a left winger, for example, on the weekend. So if you can develop that part of his game where he gets up and down the wing, nice and fit, gets back in defense, he learns how to track, you know, learns how to, you know, send guys wide and mark properly. Going forward, he provides an outlet where he can, you know, play a long ball. And if he can then at least capture the ball, you know, trap it, put in a cross or play someone else in, then he might have some value. But it's an interesting one as well. And that was the first thing that came to mind was, you know, the experiments like with CM Punk and that sort of thing about
it's so similar.
Yeah, yeah. And how's that going to go. So let's see what happens, how that unfolds over the coming weeks with Usain Bolt. The season starts mid-October.
CM Bolt.
Yeah. And the season starts mid-October, so there's not too far to go. Moving on to the tennis, the US Open at the moment, the final Grand Slam of the year. A bit of a renaissance for the Australian men. It's been fantastic, and the Australian women as well. It's been great to see some of our women doing such a good job. Ash Barty, unfortunately,
renaissance
went out.
Or revival? Both? They both work?
Yeah, probably revival is a better word. Yeah, that's good, Benny. Yes, mate, you can really come to the fore today, hey, mate. It's good.
I'm away.
Mate, this is my penultimate part of my segment. So that's good from you. But yeah, it's been some great results. We had Alex de Minaur, who had a really great performance against Marin Cilic, a former winner of the US Open, the Croatian sensation, number 7 seed at this tournament, and one of the best players on tour. Had him 2 sets to love up, and it really was invoking some memories of a big blowout. But unfortunately, Cilic came back and won that in 5 sets, which is not unexpected. He's done that before to guys like Federer. Cilic is a really good campaigner. But for De Minaur to get that far.
What's his name?
Alex De Minaur.
De Minaur.
De Minaur.
D-M-I-N-A-U-R.
De Minaur.
De Minaur. De Minaur. Love you all.
De Minaur. De Minaur, I'm going to say. Yes. Yeah. Happy with that?
You tell you're the. Hey, this is a WOG name that you're pronouncing. Yeah, I'm going to stick with your pronunciation.
So he's done really well. Johnny Millman, another Australian success story. He's made it to the fourth round. He's going to play Roger Federer, who himself will, for the second round in a row, play an Australian after sweeping aside Kyrgios. Nick Kyrgios in the third round.
In Kyrgios' defense, wasn't that just like a virtuoso? Just flawless performance from Federer.
Oh, Federer was a little bit.
I saw the highlights.
A little bit, yeah.
It just looked like I couldn't miss.
The interesting part about this, and I've got some audio for you guys in a moment, is with Federer, before that, because there was some real controversy in the second round of Kyrgios' match.
Yeah.
First match of Kyrgios's I watched. I happened to be in front of the TV at the time, and there was real signs of, you know, tanking and just not trying his best. Second game, he was 6 with a set down, you know, 3 love down, in some real trouble. And what happened, Benny, was I don't know if you've seen this or not, so I'll just appraise you in case. Don't bite my head off.
So I have heard of Kyrgios as well. As
you know who that is. Yeah. So the umpire's come down and effectively, without going too deep into it, giving him a rev up, saying, mate, you need to start trying. Like, I believe that you're a good player. There's people that have come out to watch you.
The umpire said, umpire gave him a pep talk.
Gave him a pep talk and said, mate,
what if he pumped him up and won? If I was the other guy,
he did.
He did.
That's what happened. He came back and won. And that's why a lot of people went, the umpire shouldn't have been doing that
correct.
For a start.
So yeah. Get this, Benny.
What does that say about Kyrgios, though?
He's mentally piss weak.
Yeah, terrible. You're exactly right, Benny. So what happened was, is the umpire gave him a pep talk, and look, whether it was solely the umpire's talk or not, we don't know.
Mate,
but
that's his new motivational speaker. Don't worry about umpiring. Kyrgios hiring.
Yeah, so you got a new job, and you know, he's basically hasn't had a coach for years. Yeah, Kyrgios. Right.
What's going on there? How do you not have a coach?
Well, I'm not sure.
How's he train? Like, does he run his own?
Well, I'm sure he's got hitting partners.
Yeah,
and
he'd
guys
have hitting partners.
He'll
and
have
stuff.
Guys that'll throw balls at him and all that sort of stuff, and probably talk to him, but not a full time.
So it's just like a fighter.
He needs a good tough coach, is what he needs. Someone that gets his head in the game.
I think it's just someone that like Kyrgios actually likes a bit and respects and looks up to.
Yeah. That's it. What
did he? But he actually had some like revelations this week saying, I've done nothing with my career, right?
Yeah, he did, yes, correct.
Same with everything, with all the hype a few years ago with his big win. What was his biggest win?
He's beaten Federer, he's beaten
Nadal in the quarters.
And he says, mate, I've done nothing. I've done nothing since then.
Right.
So he might be making some progress in the right direction.
You're spot on. So after that performance where, whether or not it was the umpire giving him that rev up, changed it or not, we don't know, but I think it probably had something to do with it. He came back, won that set, won the next two, and then ran away with the match. So it really did rev him up a bit. And then what happened was is that in the lead up to that next match, which was Federer versus Kyrgios, Federer's given him a spray going, it's not right and it shouldn't have happened and it's not going to happen again. Don't you worry about that. Almost, condemning the umpire, but also sort of Kyrgios himself saying, it's not going to happen again. You know what I mean? Because you're on watch now, buddy. Get out there and sort yourself out. So Federer came out. I wouldn't say wipe the floor with him in the sense that Kyrgios had opportunities in the first set. He had Federer at love 40 at one point, 3-all, to break serve and then potentially go on win that first set. And if you listen to this, Federer was a little bit more careful with the way he stuck the knife in, but basically explained what Kyrgios should have done at the time, which was, probably play a bit of a safer shot. So have a listen to this.
Clearly at 40-15, he should have hit a normal forehand, in one of the, in the open court, and he chooses to go for like sort of the drop shot, which at the end cost him the match. So clearly when you play that way and you lose, it's always like you feel like he's so much to blame, but that's just how he plays, and that's why we go back to being super consistent, make him hit that one extra ball. But because when you play like this, it can also work against you. Rather than sometimes just going for it, you have tendency to play safe as well, which then can, be an advantage for him. But today, I think he didn't come up with the goods, when he really had to. And I was good, I think, by making him hit that extra shot. So things worked well for me today.
So Feds had him in a position, Kyrgios had Feds in a position where he could have potentially played a different shot and come away with that game, which would have been very important in the context of the match.
A little bit of lack of discipline.
Correct. You're spot on, Benny. And a bit of that
carelessness.
And a bit of that bravado, which is effectively live by the sword, die by the sword, came back to bite him there. And just before that, Federer was talking about when you come up against a guy like Kyrgios, who Federer in his own words said he's dangerous, he's erratic, has a big serve, and when he's on, and he's very, very tough to play.
I think we all know, we've all said it, the guy has got skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he just can't put it all together for a tournament.
That's it, and piece it together for the seven matches that you need. And what Federer was saying was is that as a guy, Federer, who does have those flashes of absolute brilliance, and he played a brilliant round the post shot during this match as well,
that
which
was
just sensational. Yeah. But Federer basically...
So was that the one where Kyrgios' reaction was
holy moly, like, oh my God, or something like that. Yeah. But what Federer was saying is when I come against guys like this, it's up to me then to be more consistent and just play more balls back to him. Whereas, if I'm sort of feel like I'm the more dominant force, and I can be a bit more flashy as well.
Unload a bit.
But he's also able, Federer, obviously being the champion that he is and been around as long as he has.
Stick to the basics.
With that experience, he's exactly right. He's been in a position where he can go, okay, I'll just get the ball back and know that he's going to beat himself. So that sets up that match for Milman. Milman and Federer coming up in the fourth round. And the real juicy one is Novak Djokovic coming up against Roger Federer, potentially in the quarterfinals. So he's still got Federer and Nadal, who are right at the top. And even though Djokovic won Wimbledon and his ranking has risen, he's not quite seated high enough now to be a part of the draw where he can meet one of those guys in the semi. So that's the real juicy one. But Nadal is just cruising on the other side of the draw. Guys like Juan Martín del Potro. They were having a good tournament so far, and he's also one to watch. He's won the US Open as well. I was there that day. When
how am I doing? Who's the Frenchie that looks like me? What's his name?
Tennis player?
Yeah, if I was...
Wilfred Songer.
Oh, yeah. Joey Wilfred. yeah, he's long gone. Joey's gone. But Juan Martín, though, he'll be one to watch as well when it comes to the back end of that. But we can talk about who wins that on next week's podcast. Finishing off, guys, with a nice story.
Penultimate
coming out of
or ultimate?
No, final. Nah, this is the final. This is the
secondly,
final one.
Final one. Last one.
And right. Finally.
How many more?
One more.
This right. one.
That's this one. This is the last one. Nice story coming out of Canberra here for you, Benny. The Canberra Brave ice hockey team won the national competition over the weekend, which was great for them. They had a fantastic regular season. They won 24 out of 28 games and headed into the final series with 11 wins in a row. So they were the team to beat. They came through the Melbourne Mustangs on Saturday in the semi-final. Not like the traditional, when I say traditional, the NHL in America where you have playoff series versus teams. This was just a sort of a grand final series over the weekend. So they beat the Mustangs on Saturday and then got through the Sydney Bears 4-3 in overtime. So after regulation it was 3-3 and then they scored the game winner to win it 4-3 yesterday. Nice. So great result for the Canberra Brave winning the competition at the national level in the ice hockey. So congratulations to them. And then another Canberra team in the baseball, they'll be kicking off soon as well, the Cavalry, for their next season. So
yeah, indeed.
Great to
what
see.
What about no women's netball this week?
No, not this week, mate, but we'll look to get some more women's netball in the next couple of weeks. I know you love that segment, Benny.
The podcast you're listening to is pre-recorded before a live studio fern.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to The Butcher Shop in Kayleen. And we've got a special guest joining us in the studio right now. And I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to be there working on the night, filming with the team here at my business. And Wimp to Warrior is something that started a couple of years ago. It's now, I think it's all around the world. I know Conor McGregor's coach has got a big involvement in it too,
it
Ben.
It does huge business. Dan Kelly's doing it in Melbourne now too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, and a guy who took part in the very first Wimp to Warrior in Canberra, Benny, I know you've done plenty with this boy as well. DJ has joined us, and a success story out of Wimp to Warrior too, because, man, you're making your bloody Hex debut this weekend, dude.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Time to show what I can what I can do on the big stage, I guess.
Yeah, nice.
I met DJ when he started training with us after his Wimp to Warrior expedition, and turned into an awesome, great, well, obviously a great bloke, but a great training partner as well. Just there's never enough big guys to train with in the gym, and to have another big guy who's new to the sport and keen, it's so good for us, man. And just another thing. DJ, we all know a lot of Islanders who abbreviate their names. You've abbreviated your name to two letters. Can you please say your proper full name? Because I think you told me once at the gym, and it was about 400 syllables.
let's this will be good because you listen to this, Steve, and let's see how you do it as a ring announcer.
Steve's good with wog names. Yeah. Let's see how we go.
So the last name's Tamoe Piao.
Damoy Biao.
And the first name, David.
So Saturday, September 22 is when it's on here at the Hellenic Club. And essentially, David, you can take us through the process of when you got in. Because it's a lot of people, you essentially sign up, you get taught how to MMA, how to cage fight.
How to MMA. Can someone teach this guy how to radio?
I've forgotten. It's been 3 years. It's like when you watch the porn, you know.
Teach me to woman. Teach me to woman.
I've had a shocker. Hey, at least I showed up this week, unlike fucking Duke Didier. But anyway, so you sign up and they essentially teach you how to fight, and like 6 months later you step in for your first fight.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. I actually first signed up back in 2015 when I first did this.
And how heavy were you?
I was I think I was 139 kgs.
Yep.
So, okay. So look at him now, like slim trim, what, 112?
Yeah, 112, yeah. One, roughly around 112, 111.
235 and feeling fine.
Yeah. So basically I did a big cut trying to get to light heavy.
Yep.
Was the goal, but that was never going to happen. last time I was that weight, I was like, you know, I was born, I guess. Everyone knew that wasn't going to happen.
Playing under 15.
And, and your missus is doing it now too.
Yeah, so that was pretty,
and she's been training with mine.
I just like signed her up. She didn't even know that she signed up, and I just sort of said on the day, by the way, you're
going to fight someone in the cage.
You're going to a tryout. And then, yeah, she's over the shock of it now, but yeah, she's going really good.
And between the two of you, how much weight have you lost all up?
It's been a...
It's unbelievable. It's completely changed their lives. Yeah. It's about, so awesome. Yeah. Well, a lot about 70 kilos or something 70, between the both 70, of you?
Something around there.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Awesome. Phenomenal.
And that's why a lot of people do go into this Wimp to Warrior program to lose weight, to get healthy, and then go, yeah, I'll have a fight at the end. But obviously, you know, with you now, you've gone through, that's correct, you're making your next debut this weekend. So people can go on from this. And that's why we say get out and check this fight night out, because you never know. You might find someone that's going to end up in the UFC in a couple of years, and you go, I was there at their first fight.
Yeah. 100%,
from Wimp to Warrior.
100%.
Yeah, pretty good.
So, and another thing I always talk about, how there's not enough big heavyweight guys to train with. Someone always has something that they're really good off straight out of the gate. Yeah. And I'm pretty confident with the stand-up and a bit of wrestling and stuff. But I remember the first time we worked on the wall together, DJ and I, if he got a hold of my leg and that was it. I was on the ground. Anytime he did no technique, as soon as he got his arm wrapped around me, I was gone. 3 years of training out the window. I'm getting ragdolled by a first timer. Just the sheer physical strength of this dude. And he'd show up to training on, like, hasn't eaten for 3 days because he's so worried about the scales. it's just been so great for the scrap pack. Yeah. And it comes, like, mate, the Wimp to Warrior thing has just exploded, man. I can't wait to get more of him in the gym.
Yeah, well, Craig and Bronny at Synergy, my kids did martial arts. They did Taekwondo there for years. So I've known them for a lot of years and they're pretty bloody passionate about it. I know they bought the brace ring when Brace went under.
Yeah.
So they've got that. And yeah, it's like, I know the production. There? So I don't know, ask Duke Didier. But the whole production of this fight night, it is right up there because I've been involved with organizing all that for it. It is extremely well done.
The production and everything. The last show, and it was sold out.
Yeah, that's right.
The great thing they have is, like, everyone came to my first fight. All my mates were there. It was great.
Yep.
Second fight, few less. Third fight, who gives a shit? it's most of the time, it's your first or second fight. Mate, all the families coming. It's a whole family event.
Yeah, nice.
So the support all the fighters getting is awesome.
DJ, have you found it a bit easier this time around coming and preparing for an event like Hex? I mean, the level of Hex is it's got that little bit of hype around it now. But in terms of preparing for your first bout when it came to Wimp to Warrior, what's the preparation been like this time? I know you've spoken about the weight cut, but what about mentally and in terms of improving your physical training as well?
So I'm not really sort of good at planning stuff my own, so that's why I really love a training under Craig Barth and them.
Yep.
Because I just sort of leave everything up to them and then just turn up and get smashed. That's all.
But
that's
you
all
keep
I'm
showing
good
up.
At. Yeah, that's I keep showing up. Yeah. So, but yeah, it is on a different sort of level. Like 5 minutes instead of three. So, yeah, it's pretty
intense.
The
training wheels are off. And to DJ's credit, he actually drove all the way down to my last Hex fight, all the way to Melbourne with the miso.
Yeah, we were just talking about the crazy Japanese ring announcer saying you're going to have that this time. I'd like to hear her say your surname.
I think she's just going to go, DJ!
DJ!
And that'll be it. She's not even going to try.
DJ Tom!
Yeah, that's it.
From
Oh, God. Yeah, trying to get DJ out and Synergy. Synergy Martial Arts. She's going to struggle with that.
I was more worried about Tamapau.
Yeah. So what do you know? You're fighting an Irish guy called Cam. What do you know about him? Yeah.
As far as I know, he's sort of really good at the ground game.
Yep.
He's a purple belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, whatever that means. it's just an old...
Yeah, well, as Mr. Miyagi said, belts are only good for holding up your pants, man.
I really like love the ground game and stuff, but yeah. So it'd be interesting. I'll be just looking for the stand-up this time around and just looking for, yeah, knockout. So.
All right. And you're going to come along to Wimpton Warrior as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have to. Sorry.
What
unfortunately,
time?
My wife's fighting. So. Yeah.
So does your wife, because my, when DJ was nice enough to give me a shirt last time, he fought for helping him out.
Yeah.
And he's helped me out just as much. And my missus thought his nickname was the Warmonger. Do you know what a warmonger was? does Case, does she have a nickname?
Warmonger.
Or the boss.
We haven't come up there.
Nice work. What advice? Obviously, you're going to be talking to your wife before her fight, but to the people that are going into this that, you know, will probably listen to this podcast, what advice would you give them going into Wimpton Warrior that first time? Because the nerves have got to be through the roof, definitely. Surely.
I guess biggest thing is to just
hands
keep
down,
turning up.
Chin up.
Yeah, that's it. Put your chin out there. Get
knocked off.
Probably not the advice they're after.
I hope his opponent's listening.
Invest in a mouth guard and everything should fall into place.
Sound advice. Simple as that.
Invest in a mouth guard.
Nice work. Well, man, listen, best of luck.
Is this on telly?
Hex.
Yeah. The next Hex.
I think most of them are on Fox. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if it's delayed this time, but we could check that out.
That's
fine.
We'll let everyone know.
If it's live or it's on delay, we'll post
on the page about it so that you can and watch DJ fight on Saturday or maybe next week, because they do tend to put them on later in the week as well with the Hex stuff. So we'll wait and see. And Wimpton Warrior, September 22 at the Hellenic Club.
Wimpton Warmonger.
Yeah, that too. If you look up Synergy Martial Arts, you can find ticket details. It's a pretty cheap day, and it's going to be fantastic. As I said, the production is next level. It's going to be a great day. So we've even got indoor fireworks set up for this one.
Yeah really?
Yeah. So well, Sparkulars, sounds, they're called. They're pretty
really,
cool.
Really? That sounds like a fire hazard.
Yeah. No, they're not. No, they're not a fire hazard.
Indoor
at
fire.
All. Yeah, no, it's cool. Cold burning fire, believe it or not. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah,
so everyone's going to walk out to that. So it's going to be a great one. But Deej, thanks for coming in, man. Best of luck at Hex.
Nice.
And hopefully we'll be talking about you 1-0 in your Hex career next week.
Yep. Hopefully. Thanks for that.
Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
All right, now Benny seems to think there is a problem with this question, so let's go through it.
Well, we just figured out there's not.
Tom says, JT retired on the weekend. Do you think he'll go down as the greatest halfback league has ever seen?
Now, Payos, in case you haven't heard of him, they're talking about Jonathan Thurston. Plays a bit of rugby league.
Rugby league?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I used to work with Jason Croker when Lockie retired, and I read his book. I was finishing reading his book, and I was fighting in Romania in 2011 and saw it at a hotel at a changeover. And at the time, everyone was talking about Lockyer, like just in the mix of being one of the greatest. But I reckon for what JT's done on and off the field with all his work with the Indigenous youth and all that. And, mate...
I get what you're saying there. I think this is purely based on football.
I did get a bit burnt out with footy the last couple of years, but I'll tell you, probably my favourite memory of footy the last couple of years. What year was North Queensland in the GF? Like 2 years?
2015.
And last year.
Mate, I remember that. And they were behind and my mum said, oh, there's no chance. And they got in and he got the goal from the sideline.
Yeah.
And he's
fair. No, he hit the post from the sideline.
Yeah.
And then he got the field goal afterwards.
That was just absolutely just phenomenal. Like the pressure that it takes to land something like this says so much about a man's character. Mm. I don't know if he's the greatest... If he's the greatest ever, there's so many. There's been so many awesome halfbacks come and go, but in this generation, I reckon he's the man.
Yeah, look,
obviously you're he's no Joey Johns.
No, and you know,
Scotty's thoughts on this.
Yeah, but for anyone
who doesn't know, he's about to tell us all about.
Well, no, I just think with Joey, and it's a hair between the two of them. It really is, but I think Joey's defense. He had the defence of a hard-hitting front rower, Joey Johns. That big arse of his, he was able to use it. And he used to put blokes on the deck all the time.
Agree,
and I think
agree.
It's the only thing, you know, whereas Joey didn't have the exact passing game, the long passing game of a Ricky Stewart, you know, and there's all these guys, your Sterlings, your Steve Mortimer.
They've all got their strengths.
They've all got strengths, whereas I think Joey was a complete package, and the only thing that let Thurston down a bit was his defence. But having said that, he had a blinder on the weekend. He upended Ryan James in like the 75th
minute.
Was
that minute. The front
yeah.
rower?
Yeah, yeah. Just
and hasn't he had like 47 shoulder surgeries as well?
He's had a few. Yeah, yeah.
Is that why he's retiring? Didn't they say, isn't that why he couldn't go in Origin this year?
No, he just retired from rep football last year.
But didn't they say
last year he had his shoulder in the sling? Yeah, he was no good.
If he
then.
does it again, he's going to be in some strife.
When it comes to my opinion on this, I definitely have to. You know, take a lot of credit in what Scotty's saying, that there's a lot of guys as well in the different eras that I haven't seen, and I think a lot of us in the younger generation can't comment on that. Like
same with boxing. People go, who's the best ever? You can't compare people of different generations.
Like you
a
can't
variety
compare
of reasons.
Ali and Tyson.
Yeah,
yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you look at someone that JT reminds me of that I can remember a little bit was Alfie Langer. He was one of the greats as well. I mean, he was just a guy who was a great leader. He had a great passing game as well. I mean, a small guy, did man up in defence.
Short kicking game was fantastic.
This was fantastic, exactly right. You know, Tommy Radonikis was one of the greats as well. There's guys like Duncan Thompson from way back pre-war that they talk about. He's amazing. Peter Sterling, as you mentioned as well. Scotty, there's plenty of fantastic players that have graced the game. So, you know, Cliffy Lyons was one of my personal favourites. That's maybe not the greatest, but you know, in terms of what JT's achieved, he's up there with Joey. What, two premierships? They've won plenty of Origins and all that sort of thing as well. Australia, you know, Australian representatives. So, a great player in his own right. Like you said, Benny, comparing eras is very hard. But you know, I mean, the amount of talk about him that he's going to be an immortal one day, I think suggests that
he'll definitely
go down inside the top three of all time, along with Joey and that sort of thing as well. So it's a great question. And again, if I was to say, look, from what I understand, I mean, I was. Don't take this the wrong way, but I was never a massive fan of JT, you know, growing up and watching his career progress. But I definitely saw, as he got to the back end of his career, how good he was, especially in Origin as well. Like, he'd really be able to steer the boys around. But then he also had great guys. Like, Cooper Cronk has been a great half as well. So I think he'll go down as one of the greats. One of the best ever, the best ever, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think he'll definitely be remembered as one of the games, the best they've ever seen.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host,
two biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra?
You get this.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
What an action-packed episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop and Kayleen. Even a man down, but we do want to again thank DJ for coming in and having a chat to us ahead of his Hex debut this weekend.
Warmonger.
Started in Wimp to Warrior, and he's now making his pro debut, which is bloody awesome. Yeah, so good luck,
DJ.
Pretty,
he's going to do pretty bloody well.
Yeah, don't forget Wimp to Warrior, 22nd of September at the Hellenic Club. That is going to be a banger. Up night, and you can see a lot of people walk into the cage for the first time, probably shitting bricks, but will equip themselves pretty well and have a good night while they're doing it. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Now, boys, the elephant in the room. Well, he's not here. normally we argue back and forth, and we'll go, "Oh, who are we going to uppercut?" There was talk this week you were going to uppercut Wombat, but I think he's been
Wombat
saved, hasn't he?
Saved.
No, I meant like when I see him.
Oh, right. I put a fiver on you, Betty, just quietly with that one. But
well, that just scared me.
What do we do? We still haven't heard from Duke, so it is now. It's 7:26. So
what if he's dead?
It's an hour and a half. Well,
if he's dead, we'll edit this.
No, we won't. We'll leave it in. It'll be unfortunate.
I reckon because we've spoken about irony tonight. Yeah. I reckon let's just armbar him.
Armbar him?
Yeah, 100%. He's armbarred himself.
All right. Okay. Well, let's do it
this
on the count. On the count of three, Duke, give yourself an armbar. Fantastic.
There you go.
Yeah. No, we got one arm. How good is that?
You got one arm and no serotonin.
But I've just looked. He still hasn't seen our message. So
he's sleeping.
He saw all the messages this afternoon, Steve, when you were asking what time we were going to record tonight.
That was probably 9:30 a.m., Scotty.
No, that was.
He's sound asleep.
It was about 11 a.m. that was.
Oh, was it a bit late?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, who knows where he is. If you're listening to this podcast and there is a bearded man in your lounge room muttering about Bon Jovi and saying something about his parents' floor, please send him please send him back.
And have you seen his Russian bear hat?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Maybe wolf hat. He's out. Oh, finding that.
Yeah, you know, maybe he's looking for that. Well, we won't see him next week either, though, because he's away.
He's going
we'll
to Bali, we'll to, so it's going to be a couple of weeks.
He's in Disneyland at the moment, going to Bali next week.
Yeah,
he's having a great time.
Yeah, someone check his passport. Just want to say a big shout-out as well to one of our loyal listeners, Jacob. I was hanging out with one of his mates on the weekend. He's more mates with this guy's brother, but apparently he was watching a fight with me about 2 months ago and didn't mention anything about the fact that he was a big podcast listener and really enjoyed the program. So I said to Jesse on the weekend, why don't you just say something? We'll give him a shout-out straight up. So just wanted to say a big g'day to Jacob. He loves your segments as well, boys. Very into his martial arts and that sort of thing. So nice. I like hearing stories about that, people that enjoy the program. So g'day, Jacob, and look forward to you continuing to listen for a very long time.
And if you know where Duke Didier is, Jacob, please let us
know.
So, yeah, but no, it will be unfortunate if Duke's dead, but if he is, well, you know, so be it. You know, it was fun.
And replacing Duke, we've got... No.
Yeah, yes, this lampshade. No, we'll have Caden Helmers is coming in next week from the Canberra Times. He was always going to be filling in next week while Duke was away on his
little
holiday.
Someone is getting a stern typing to
next weekend. Yes, indeed. So anyway...
If Duke's on here next weekend, let's give him just another typing to next week. Two episodes in a row he's missed.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, well,
I'm the one last week that said I wanted a week off.
Yeah.
And Duke's like, oh, man, you're sore through. No shot.
No shot. Right.
And on that note, I will say get a big black dog up. Yeah.
I'm going to say don't miss me too much, Canberra, because there's nothing you can do about it.
And I'm going to say I enjoyed being this room's third best fighting son for the evening. So thank you, Duke.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting son. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your gob around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.